judging by what has been placed in the public media, it seems to me that, in fact, the offense of treason has not been committed. What, in fact, Bisai and others were up to is all protected under the Constitution of Zimbabwe. If you go to Section 19 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, it protects the citizen's freedom of conscience. Section 20 then goes on to protect the freedom of expression of those citizens who might have different opinions based on their conscience. If you then go to Section 21, you will find the Constitution protects the rights of citizens to assemble and associate freely without hindrance. This, in my view, is precisely what Bisai and others were exercising. They were exercising this constitutionally given right. Under international law, you find these rights are also provided for.
Mr. Chaiva, what do you think of the charges facing Mr. Bisai and others? Do you think they were really up to no good?
My understanding of treason is that any act directly or indirectly, covertly or overtly, that is its primary objective, an intention to want to overthrow a legitimately elected government through unconstitutional means. And by unconstitutional means, you mean through a process of an electoral process. So, simply speaking, that, in my understanding, is the definition of what constitutes treason. Any act that intends to overthrow a legitimately elected government by unconstitutional means. Now, in apartheid South Africa, it's very interesting to notice that they actually used to define treason as harboring, the suspicion of harboring subversive thoughts, and you could go to jail or to face the gallows for that. Now, the guy is a lawyer himself who surely is fully and totally conversant with what the law and the definition, even a common law or the inferred law about treason, would be implied. And there he is gathering all clips from the television about the revolution taking place in Tunisia, which obviously, by the way, are not constitutional. So there he is, he gathers all these video clips, and he takes a group of unemployed youth, and he starts lecturing to them the essence of those video clips and those revolutions or uprisings that are taking place in India, that are taking place in Egypt. By the way, they are prisoners. Those things that happen in Tunisia are prisoners. So briefly, I was going to say, there's an issue there.
Mr. Mige, there are reports that since the Egyptian-Tunisia uprisings, there has been some sort of excitement in Harare and talk that this may happen. Is this not possible that this is what was going on here?
Firstly, I should remind my brother, Chaiva, that intellectual discourse does not happen only in lecture rooms at universities. Intellectual discourse can happen anywhere, even on a public bus. However, turning to your question, indeed, there are incidents that happen in Tunisia and in Egypt. But to my understanding, those demonstrations were not violent, peaceful demonstrations. And there is scope for discussion as to whether or not peaceful people power is legitimate. What happened in Egypt and Tunisia may be seen as people power. And I don't think there should be a question as to the legitimacy of people power. We in Zimbabwe have had a personal experience of people power, and therefore it is within the rights of every citizen of Zimbabwe, in my view, to still be able to pursue that strategy.
Your thoughts, Mr. Chaiva?
People power, for your information, does not need to be violent for it to qualify to be treason. The question is fundamentally, the bottom line is that, are you engaged in a constitutional means to remove a government? I have no recollection of an American constitution which says that you can remove a government in that manner. I have no recollection of another country, any constitution in another country, which says that is a way to remove a government. The constitutional accepted method is a process of an election. Let me remind you, patients, when we fought the liberation struggle, what we were doing, this is why they used to call us terrorists. The freedom fighters were called terrorists. And indeed, if you had been caught, and many were caught, you would be sent to the gallows. And indeed, many were sent to the gallows. So these are the risks that you are supposed to be committing yourself to, that in the event that I am caught committing this act of treason, I am prepared to pay the ultimate price. Now, in this case here, which we are talking about, don't forget, it is a matter before the courts of law. But however, the principle really is that we are not fully conversant with the issues that the police are willing to, that the police, the kind of evidence that is available to the police, which will disclose in a court of law. And by the way, discourse, or intellectual discourse, can happen anywhere. I agree with Mr. Mike on that one. But look here, it is the nature and the content in the subject of discussion that might then constitute the issue of a treason. If you are engaging in a purely discussive manner of any issue that can be happening anywhere in the world, there are four, five, six of you, there is no big problem with that. We all have been watching what is happening in other countries on our televisions, and there is beside. Assimilating all those video clips, and there is beside. And we don't know now what it is that he was imparting to these youths about these videos. What is the nature of the intellectual discourse?
Briefly, Mr. Chaiven, I'll give you the benefit of the last word here. People say that, is it not true, though, that the Zimbabwean government has been jittery over the past few weeks? Not only has Gwisai been arrested, but there have been a number of arrests countrywide.
It will happen in some people's cases. But anyway, the point is, the law will not be put to sleep so that criminals can get away with violations of the law. There is nowhere in the world where the law can be required to take a break and allow people to commit crimes. It does not matter. By the way, don't forget, the law is not described as belonging to Hindu or belonging to that kind of person or this kind of person. The law is for everybody. So if anyone of us commits a crime, it doesn't matter how many they can be members of ZANU-PF committing a crime. It doesn't matter how many members of the MDCT or MDC committing a crime, you will be arrested. And regrettably, the statistics will reveal that so many members of this political party have been caught on the wrong side of the law. So the law knows no color, the law knows no political party, and the law is for all of us to abide by.